Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Where am I? Am I where I should be? Where am I? Am I where I should be? So that's what I'm going to teach about. And we're going to look at two Bible figures and see what happens when you're in position and when you're out of position. Where you always want to be is in position. And in position means in the right place at the right time. And when I use the word where I should be, the definition that I choose to utilize today is one that I like when it talks about should. And it says I'm going to use an auxiliary function to express obligation, propriety, or expediency, meaning I should do something. I should be in this place. Young people, what I want you to understand is you should be where God wants you to be. Anybody ever been lost? He didn't know where you were. I've only been truly lost one time in my life, and I think I told y'all about that. I was doing an exercise in the military, and they had us out there doing finding little points, and all they give you is a compass and a map, and you have to shoot an azimuth, and you're running through the woods, and I shot an azimuth 180 degrees in the wrong direction, and I was going, well, yeah, y'all laughing at me, now I was just going, and I was out there in the woods of Alabama, and all I started seeing was deer run by, and the sun started to set. They sent the first party out for me. So I've only been lost truly one time in my life. And so it's like, am I where I should be? You know, because if you're lost, if you don't know where you are, you're lost. Find my way. And there are things that you can help use to help you find your way. Anybody ever been in the mall? I know somebody in the mall, y'all be looking for something. You walk to that sign and say, you are here, right? You are here, but where you should be is over there. But you found a landmark or something to tell you where you are. And that's what I'm asking you today. Where are you? Where am I? When you know where you are, then you say, okay, is this where I should be? You can even use that little thing called GPS today. It'll tell you exactly where you are, sitting there with a little point, latitude, latitude, all that. Say, oh, okay. And then, you know, back in the military, too, you know, when we were out there doing things, and we needed to let them know where we were, and we needed a little bit of fire. A little bit of help. We needed some of them artillery guys to throw down some really key, you know, that's white phosphorus, boy, y'all don't know that. That heavy stuff, had to give them an 8-digit grid coordinate. And then when you get that 8-digit grid, they know exactly where you are. And they'll drop, no, you need to move a little to the left there, right there. And when they finally get it right, you just say, fire for a thing. And it just started raining down from heaven. And that's something you like to see. But you know where you are. And especially dealing with ordnance, you need to know where you are, because if you give the wrong coordinates, they're going to be where you are, and you will be no more. Can I get an amen? But there is something else that will help you to get direction, and it'll tell you exactly where you are, and that is the good old Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, that is the book for me. And it will tell you where you are. Why? Because Psalm 119, 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Get in a dark room, can't see too much. Sometimes your eyes kind of adjust, but you need a little light just to see where you're going. And the Word of God is that light. It's a lamp unto the feet and a light to light the direction. The Word of God also over in chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and of the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of your heart. The Word of God, it'll show you where you are. It'll let you know what you need to do. It'll show you that you're not in a right connection, a right relationship with God. When you look at the Word of God and you really absorb what the Scripture has to say, it will lead you where you need to go. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says it all to me. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Young people don't need to lean to your own understanding because your thoughts can get you in a little trouble. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will but direct your path. Am I where I should be? Where am I with regard to school, my career, my life, my salvation? Am I where I want to be? Am I where I should be? Am I where God wants me to be with regard to those things? See, young people, being out of place can get you in a whole lot of trouble. See, you should be in a location where you told your parents you were going to be. Am I where I should be? We done all done it, but I'm going to tell you, you don't want to do it. Don't want to do it because sometimes it'll cost you. Because if not, the result could be catastrophic. Your parents think you at another place and they're watching something on the news and they're like, oh my goodness, I so feel sorry for those parents and my heart goes out because my child wasn't there. They were over someplace else. But when they get the news that you were in that place and where you were supposed to be, how you think it makes them feel? You gotta be where you're supposed to be. See, you should be in school, but you're skipping class. Are you where you're supposed to be? Should be at the library studying, but you're at a party, or a friend's house, or your boyfriend or your girlfriend's house, but you're supposed to be at the library studying. Young people, straight bullets have no name. When you're out of place, things can happen. And look at this, sometimes you're not the only person affected by your decision to be out of place and to be out of position. Am I where I should be? To make it plain for you, anybody ever broke a bone or tore a ligament, it hurts when it's out of position. It hurts when it's out of position. You're like, oh, Lord, that thing, woo. You'd be like, man, it's been out there. But something's out of position. Anybody ever been in a car when the car wasn't quite aligned and you feel every bump in the road? It's out of position. It doesn't feel too good. It doesn't ride well. Any of my athletes in the house, anybody know about somebody being out of position can cost you the game. Oh, they can cost you the game. Oh, ask them Jacksonville Jaguars. Hallelujah. Being out of position. Somebody, oh, y'all help me. Let me say here. Being out of position can cost you your job. It can cost you to get reprimanded or fired. I'm making it real. Talking about being out of position. Am I where God wants me to be? Being out of position. Out of place. Out of position with God or outside of the will of God can delay or even deny your blessing. To delay or deny your blessing because you don't want to do what God wants you to do. Not being saved and accepting Christ before it's too late will cause you to go to hell. Are you in the right position where you should be, that is, saved by the grace of God, or in the wrong position, unsaved and a non-believer? See, I'm not just talking about going to church and having religion, but I'm talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you there with me? What does it mean to be out of position? Turn with me to the book of Jonah. I'm going to give you an example here. The book of Jonah, talking about being out of position and not doing what God wants you to do. I told you it could affect other people, not only you, but being out of position. Here we have Jonah. Verse 1, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, son of the Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." How much plainer can you get than that? God said to Jonah, "Look here, young man, I need you to go do something." It wasn't like his mama told him, but the Lord said, "I want you to do something. I want you to go down there, and I want you to talk to these people down at Nineveh. Arise, get up, and go." How many of us God has told us, "Arise, get up, and go"? He spoke into us, "Arise, get up, and go." Am I where I should be? But Jonah, he said, you know, "Hold up." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Why do you want to run from the presence of the Lord? He's talking about getting out of position. When you get out of the presence of God, out of the will and the anointing of God, all kind of things can happen. But he chose to flee to Tarshish and went down the Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them as a target from the presence of the Lord. "God, I know you told me to do something, but right now, that ain't in my plan. That ain't what I want to do. God, I know you told me I'm too young to get saved right now. There's a lot of stuff I got to do, so I'm going to go do my own thing. And no matter, I got my own money. I'm going to pay my own way to do it." So he paid his way, got on the boat. But I told you, when you're out of the will of God, some things can happen. Am I in position? God said, "Oh, you don't want to listen to me?" Anybody ever had their parents tell them to do something, and I'm going to do what I want to do? Who are they to tell me what I'm going to do? Living in their house, eating their food, but I can't go do what I need to do because mama told me to go to the store. Daddy told me to go down there and cut the grass, but I'm out of position. I'm going where I want to go. But God gives us a great example. He said, "But the Lord sent out a great wind." Not just a wind, but a great wind. You want to challenge me? You want to run from me, from my presence? Where can you go that I'm not there? Can you flee from my presence? He sent out a great wind. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the sea ship was like to be broken. God said, "Hold up, let me show you who I am. You going to run from me? You going to get out of position? That's just like a daddy telling their son, what? You going to say what to me? Well, I'll knock you out. You want to do what to me? Hold up, last time I checked, my name and your mama name was on the mortgage. God said, last time I checked, I formed you in the womb. How you going to tell me what you ain't going to do?" Hallelujah. And then the people on the boat, see, I told you, you get other people all in trouble with you out of place and out of position. Then the mariners, they were afraid and they cried every man unto his God. They ain't even know God. Everybody was calling on everybody, everything. Somebody help me. Who this man? You got people calling out the stuff they don't even know because you in the wrong place. You out there on the field, you're in the wrong position. You got the defensive man say, "Get over there." They're screaming from up top. "Boy, get over there. The ball coming this way." You out of position. got everybody hollering. But guess what? He ain't even gonna cry. He went down in the size of the ship and he was fast asleep. Look at it. He don't care about nobody. And he's like, I'm getting away. I'm going down there and I'm going to sleep. Forget y'all. Just get me the comfort. I done gave y'all my money. Y'all need to get me where I need to go. But the shipmaster came to him and said, hold up. What meaneth this thing? You need to get up. Everybody out here calling on their God. You need to get up and give us some help, too. You need to call on your God so that we won't perish. And then as he keeps going down, they said in verse 8, then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. We ain't doing nothing wrong by this evil on us. We ain't doing nothing wrong. We ain't doing nothing wrong. Oh, it's you messing up. And you done caused them to get in trouble. And then they come out, what's your occupation? Where you came from? What country are you from? What people are you about? He making it, they say, oh, God, we got to do a little bit of investigation here. All this stuff going on. Who you belong to? Hallelujah. Where you from? Who your mama now? Yeah, y'all know how we say it. Got all this stuff going on. He said to them, you know, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. He just a lion. Because if he would have feared the Lord, he wouldn't have run from his presence. And see, all of us in church, I'm like, oh, I praise the Lord, hallelujah. I fear God. Oh, I fear my feelings. I'm going over there. I ain't going over there. I ain't doing that. God done told you to do something in the church. God done told you to go do something. But you trying to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm telling you, you better listen up. I got that word of God just keep coming from Sister Leather. Listen. Oh, hallelujah. Listen. I think of that. I don't know if y'all saw that YouTube commercial a long time ago when a little boy was with his mama, Linda. And he's talking, listen, Linda. Listen. Listen, Linda. He was just going, listen, Linda. You know, y'all better listen. Hallelujah. That thing still happened. They were afraid. And so he said, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord God of heaven. And then the men were exceedingly afraid. And then they say, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them, man, why do you do this? Man, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do God like that? Why do you want to do that? He's all knowing. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do that? You can't run far. He's going to get you. You know he sees everything. Well, you know you couldn't have been out here. You know your mom and dad know everybody. They got somebody out there trying to see you right now. When you get home, you're going to be in trouble. You know what? You don't want to be out here with us. Because they, you know, you better get home, man. You're going to be in trouble. You walk in, what you doing out there? Because they got eyes everywhere. God can see. I'm just trying to make it real for y'all, young people. Just stay in position. They said, what shall we do unto you? So they're trying to say, look, we got to do something. We got to get going. And he said, take me up and throw me out the boat. Just get me out of your presence. And so they took him up and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her rage. And look at that. So you get rid of the problem, things go away. You get rid of the problem, the sea calms down. See, sometimes we like to deal with the symptoms. You know, like when you get a cold, you want to take a few days so you can just get sleep. But you need something that a grandma say going to knock that cold up out. And so you got to deal with the issues and not the symptoms. And so they dealt with the issue, which was Paul. I mean, which was Jonah. You know, y'all got me talking about Paul. What's up? With Jonah. And so they cast him over. And the men, they were all right there. But guess what? Even in the midst of your wrongdoing, God still gonna get some glory. Then the men feared the Lord. See, it was already praying to all kind of God when it was going on. And you get up, but now when they threw him overboard, because he said, my God told me this, and it stopped, they said, he must be serving the right God. You might be doing your wrong, but God's gonna always get the glory out of it. To the men, they feared the Lord exceedingly, and not only that, they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and then look here, they made vows. See, in the midst of your wrongdoing, God used that to turn some other lives around. Because you got up there and disrupted their lives, God came back and put order in their life. So don't worry about it. Oh, hallelujah. But then look at this. God, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Can y'all say, God said, you better do what I told you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to make it plain, young people. Oh, you don't want to do it? I need to give me that cell phone. Give me that cell phone, all right? You don't want to do it? I want to go. Okay, give me that Xbox. Okay, now we're going to try that for a little bit. You still want to give me them keys. Give me them keys to that car. You want to be out of position. I'm going to take you. You want to get some wood up there. You better walk. Oh, but I can't walk. I got some other stuff for you to do. Oh, you can't even leave your room. You on lockdown. See, I'm making it plain because that's what God said. Okay, they threw you over the board, on the boat. You think you're going to swim and get out? No, I got something for you now. I'm going to give you a little chance to think about it. Anybody ever used to get punishment when you were growing up? I'd rather get a whooping all day long than punishment. Because punishment makes you sit there and think about it. With a whooping, I just holler a little bit and then I'm on my way. But God said, Jonah, I'm putting you on punishment now. You done ran away. Now I'm putting you in the belly of the fish. And so now you're going to have a little time to think about it. I'm going to give you 3 days to think about how you messed up. How you was out of position. And see, when you have time to think, when you're all by yourself over here in chapter 2, verse 2, he said, and I cry, oh, by reason of my affliction. See, when you have time to think about all the wrong you were doing, you start to cry a little bit. When it starts hurting a little bit, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm going to make it plain. See, daddy ain't like mama. See, you get locked up in there, boy, I tell you. Daddy don't care about your heart. Daddy don't care about your crying. But if you cry loud enough, mama will hear your cry. And thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me all about. Oh, y'all see, he was there. God had him in time out, so to speak. And so he cried out to the Lord. And finally, in verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Make it plain to y'all young folks, daddy don't care, but mama went in and spoke a word to daddy. Daddy came in and said, all right, you can go out now. I'm going to let you out right now. But if I had my way, you'd be in here till you're 35. But you see, after that, verse chapter 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God was just dealing with him there. But you see, he was out of position. God had told him to do something. No, I'm going over here. I'm going over here. Then he got kicked out of the boat. And then he got in the belly of the well and he cried out. And by now, God said, I'm going to see if he's ready to listen. And the word of the Lord came up to Jonah the second time, saying, all right, go unto Nineveh, that great city. Don't it sound the same? You come out there, go in that kitchen, clean up my dishes, make up that bed, cut my grass. It ain't nothing changed. Just want you to get in position. Hallelujah. Go into none of that great city and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. Go and do what I told you to do. So Jonah arose. I'm pretty sure God was that too cold. He hopped up with a little quickness in his stuff this time. He got up with a little bit more excitement. It's kind of like, oh, I ain't have my keys to my car. He's back in the room. Can you go to? Yes, I go to the store. What you mean? What you mean? You jump up and and then come out, oh, while I was out, I did this right here, and I brought back this. You didn't even have to ask him no more. Because they're trying to get in position. They're trying to get in a right relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to, not even listen, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He was preaching with an unction from the Holy Ghost. He done been tossed and turned in the sea, in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And see, the scholars say because he had been inside the belly of the fish, all the digestive juices have begun to eat away at his skin. And when it spewed him out, he looked like a ghost. He didn't even look like what he used to look like. And he was saying, okay, God, I'm going to do what you would have me to do. And you see, in that story, you see what happens when you're out of position, when you're not where you're supposed to be. Things can happen. But I'm going to tell you, you all know the story, how Jesus fed 5,000. I'm going to tell you about being in position. See, you would think out of all of those people that were there, the 5,000, somebody would have brought something to eat. You would think somebody would have brought something to eat. Somebody. But there was a little lad who was in position. See, there's no such thing as luck. It's preparation ready for the opportunity. This little boy out of 5,000 or so people, he was the only one there that had a little lunch. Everybody else was hungry. But he could have said, I got mine. I don't know about you. But he didn't do that. Because Jesus was there. He said, go and get it and bring it to me. And so now you see a little boy. So it don't matter how old you are, how young you are. You just got to be prepared to do what the Lord wants you to do when he's ready for you to do it. So see, you have this little boy who gave up his 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The Lord just asked him for it. And you don't see, he just said, bring it to me. So he just gave it up willingly. God asked him to do something. He just did. With childlike faith, he didn't buck. He didn't run away. He just did. And because he did it, guess what? We're talking about him today. Don't necessarily know his name, but he's famous. He's written in the greatest book of all time because he heeded to the word of God. But he did. Because he was ready for the opportunity. Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and multiplied. They had 12 baskets left over. I'm just extrapolating here because I wasn't there, but I'm trying to say he probably took a little bit more home to feed his family. Because it ain't like our Lord to take from you and don't give anything back. It's not in the scripture, but I can just see God say, you gave me this. Why don't you just take a whole basket by yourself? So now he started with a little bit. Gave it to the Lord and he blessed it. And now he's walking away with a whole lot more. See? Why? Because he was in position. Trying to get through this. I'm wrapping up. But see, he was in to be used of God. And he allowed God to use him. Are you ready for God to use you? Do you want to be used by the Lord? Why? See, if you're saved and you understand that you're heaven bound, you understand 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. As some men count slackness, but his long suffering to us toward not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to get in a right relationship. He's not like the devil who over in John 10:10 wants to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, if you get in position, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. If you want abundant life and abundant living, I'm not talking prosperity, but I'm talking about abundance in the spirit. See, if you're not in a right relationship, you're right where Satan wants you to be. Because Matthew 25:41 says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, what prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not prepared for you. God wants you to get in a right position. That's why he's long-suffering, because he wants you to be there. God is saying today, if you're not in a right relationship with me, get in the right position. Why? Because Proverbs 10 and 22 says, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. Oh, you want to be blessed and don't have any sorrow. Just get on the right side and get in position. See, because Satan offers you the appearance of grandeur. He offers you the appearance of riches. But 1 John 2 and 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but of the world. Where I'm going with this, see, David himself was out of position. He got caught up in the lust of the eye. David should have been in battle, but he was on the rooftop looking at something he wasn't supposed to be looking at. It didn't belong to him. But he saw Bathsheba, called her in, went unto her, committed a sin, had a child fall. So he was out of position. But then he went ahead and had a woman's husband killed, trying to cover it up. But he was out of position. But see, I'm going to tell you today, if you're out of position, what do you need to do? See, David understood that he had messed up. David understood that there's only one solution to my problem. See, if you're out of relationship with God, you need to get saved. But if you've messed up, you got to repent and ask God for forgiveness to get back, because David understood that. He said, create in me a clean heart. See, he wrote Psalm 51 after he messed up on the rooftop. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. See, he's crying out. He's saying, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thine presence. And he says, take not thine spirit away from me. See, if you want to get in a right position with God, you just got to get down on your knees sometimes and just repent, because you may have done something. Don't be afraid to say, God, I messed up. Because David understood, and he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David missed the fellowship that he had with God. He missed the communication and the union that he had with God, because he understood he was out of position. And he said, I need to get back in position. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. See, if you want God to hold you up, if you want God to take you to another place in him, all you got to do is say, Father, I stretch my hands to you. I know I messed up a little bit. I know I've been out of position, but I want to get in position. I want to be in a place where I can hear from you, to hear your voice in the morning time, to hear your voice in the evening. Oh, Jesus. David understood that he had to get back in position. You see, body of Christ. Whoa, we got to stop playing church. And we got to get in the right position. See, in the secular world, they talk about being on the right bus. But not only being on the right bus, but in the right position on the bus. See, a lot of us are on the bus. We saved and sanctified, but we're in the wrong seat on the bus. Now, see, you know I can't sing, so why I want to be in her seat? Whoa, Jesus. You know I can't cook too well. Why I want to be in hospitality seat? God is saying to you today, am I in position? Am I operating in my calling? Am I doing what you told me to do? Am I using my gift? Or am I running away trying to use your gift? God says, get back in position. Stop running away. Ephesians chapter 4, 16. From whom the whole body fits jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, that connected according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the ever edifying of itself in love. And that King James is just saying that the power that we need is coming from Christ. And good, godly, biblical growth comes from everybody doing their part. Growth in in this church and outreach comes from everybody doing what God called them to do. Everybody not just doing what they're supposed to be doing, operating in a spiritual gift, but working in submission under the Holy Ghost and in cooperation with other people, in cooperation and in love. That's how you get in position. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, what? For the perfecting of the saints. We got to get perfected. I can't go out and save folks if they don't hear the gospel. If you're an evangelist, you need to get out there and cry loud and spare not. If you have the gift of prophecy, you need to prophesy. If you have the gift of teaching, you need to teach. If you have the gift of faith, you need to operate in it. If you have the gift of miracles, lay hands and raise somebody. Operate in your calling. God is saying, get in position. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. What? For the working of the ministry. The ministry can't work if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. God is saying, right now I need you to get in position. You're worrying about everybody else, but God said, I need you to work on yourself. I need you to get to where I want you to be. I need you to operate in your calling. Whatever it is, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what people told you. Don't worry about what people say, because people didn't give it to you. God gave it to you. If you're out of position, get in position. If you're out of alignment, get in alignment. Don't run from me like Jonah, because I'll cause a great wind to blow you back to where you need to be. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.